Welcome, revolutionary mama, to the Raising Wild Hearts podcast. I'm Ryan Watkin, educator, mom of three, rebel at heart, and passionate soul on a mission to empower and inspire you. Here, we'll explore psychology, spirituality, parenthood, and the intersection where they all come together. We'll discover how challenges can be fertile soil for growth, and that even in the messy middle of motherhood, we can find magic in the mundane. Join me on my own personal journey as I talk to experts and share resources on education, creativity, self-care, family culture, and more. I believe we can change the world by starting at home in our own minds and hearts, and that when we do, we'll be passing down the most important legacy there is: healing. And so it is. Welcome back to the Raising Wild Hearts podcast, my loves. Hi, happy you're here, as always. So happy almost summer. We're kind of inching towards the summer season. The days are getting longer here in the United States, at least. As this will be released, it's Memorial Day. So school's ending, lots of summer stuff is coming up, and I love the change of seasons. I typically really like the change of summer into fall, just because I'm in Florida and summer is really hot. So weather-wise, I really love that fall transition, even the winter one. But I think too, just I've been dedicating my planning, my time, my energy, my organization to living more cyclically. So I'm really paying attention to the seasons and the moon and all of the cycles that surround us always. I think it's really neat. We've got this really cool container that we live in that has these cycles that we can follow, and I like it. So anyway, let me know if you follow the moon and the seasons too. Last year, leading up to Christmas, everybody was putting their Christmas decorations up. And I was like, we are not decorating until December 21st, which is the solstice. I think it's the 21st or 22nd, whatever. I did cave a little earlier than that. But a lot of people were putting up Christmas decorations right after Thanksgiving. And I'm like, it's still fall. So I like bought more pumpkin stuff and just like, you know, really extended that fall holiday, because I think we have a tendency to like jump from one right to the next. And like, you know, our calendar can become like these holidays instead of really like paying attention to the rhythms and the seasons and the cycles. So yeah, that's something in my own life that I'm really paying attention to, and I really dig it. So what I'm reading right now is one of the things I'm reading is I'm listening to, actually, How to Be Loving by Danielle Laporte. And I really, really like it. She has a very calming energy if you listen to the audiobook. And I really love her message. She's a brilliant thinker, and I appreciate her delivery. It just kind of sounds like you're having a chat with a girlfriend. So I'm really digging that. How do we prevent our children from growing up and having to deal with codependency or addiction or trauma recovery? And side note, our kids are not going to come out unscathed. You know, something is going to happen that wasn't the ideal thing for them. Something is going to leave them wounded, whether it's from us or our family system or something else. So, you know, I'm not saying that we need to bubble wrap our kids. I'm not saying that we need to shelter them from the world's conflicts or, you know, things that happen in the world. Well, I kind of do think we should shelter them from some things happening in the world, but that's kind of a side note. But I don't think we can shelter them from the challenges that the world just innately brings, right? And we have enough challenges just under our roof, right, as families, that we can address and try to do better. So the thing I want to talk about today is raising independent feelers and thinkers. And so basically, this is like raising non-codependent people, or I believe it's like interdependent people. So raising interdependent humans or independent humans, however you want to frame that. I'm sure there's a lot of different ways to say it. According to a 2018 research review, patterns of codependent behavior generally involve four main themes. One is self-sacrifice. Two is a tendency to focus on others. Three, a need for control, which may fuel conflict. And then four, difficulty recognizing and expressing emotions. And this is from psychcentral.com. I just wanted to there are so many different things and symptoms and, ways to define codependency. One of the ways that I define it, which I mentioned in the episode with Jenny Luther when we talked about connection over control, it was episode 9. One of the things we talked about is that, one of my definitions for codependency is jumping into someone else's story. So if someone like a friend or a family member is having a really hard day and they're just like, oh my God, and you're just like, get right there with them and go like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Like jumping into their story and making their feelings your own feelings. That to me is also one of the things which, it's all kind of related. So in my mind, what I am consciously trying to do presently for myself and for my children is to build a foundation that will ensure strong personalities, very strong personalities that will, give us and give our kids the tools that we need to deal with conflict, to express our emotions, to address our needs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So all those things that we need as healthy human beings, as healthy adults, that is what I'm striving to do. And so I have a few different ideas that I'm going to share with you. And these are things that I do and say in our house. And, just a side note here. And one of the things that people say sometimes, or I've heard, I've read different blogs and people are saying, well, what are we supposed to do? Like bubble wrap our kids or protect them from everything or shelter them from hardship. And, I was raised this way and I turned out fine. And my respectful rebuttal to that is, what if we could reverse, these addictions or mental illness or codependency? What if we could actually lay a healthy foundation so that that won't be an issue later in life for our kids? Like many of you who have young kids like me, it's kind of like a social experiment. We're like, so we're doing this thing and we think we're doing the best we can and we're really trying to do the best we can. And fingers crossed that it all works out. And what does that even mean, right? We want our kids to thrive, really, I think is the universal theme. So I'm always framing how I speak to my kids or the way we create our family culture or basically everything around how can we help our kids build healthy foundations so that later in life they'll have the opportunity to thrive. And of course, they're still going to come up against challenges like we do, and they will be better prepared to meet those challenges. So I think it's really important to give our kids a voice and to let them know that their opinions matter. So when my kids ask me a question, even if I know the answer, sometimes I'll say, I don't know. What do you think? And I'll see what they say. And I'm not necessarily interested in the answer. I mean, I am interested in it. But what I'm teaching them to do, what I'm training them to do, is to think for themselves and not to take mommy's answer just because she's mommy and accept that as truth. So by putting the ball back in their court and asking them what they think, they get to practice that, flexing that creative thinking muscle. So I think that's really important, asking our kids, what do you think? And one of the other things is, you know, letting them have their own autonomy. So that's a big one for me. So we have five humans in our house and one fuzzy little Bernie doodle. And so for the five humans, we're all different. We all have different desires. We all have different needs, you know, some of which are the same, but we're different people, right? So promoting individuation for our kids is really important. So I like the color, I mean, this is pretty relevant for little kids. I like the color yellow and you like the color purple. I like broccoli stir fry and you like cashew mac and cheese. I like, you know, and the list goes on and on and on, right? So really, again, training, I mean, it's not the best use of the word because we're not like training dogs here, but we, you know, kids are so much products of their environment and they are being conditioned from the ages of 0 to 7, especially. So just letting them say what they like and be different. Not everybody in the family needs to like the same thing. Not everybody in the family needs to have the same opinion about every single thing. This is relevant emotionally as well. We've had times where one of our children is just melting down for a while. Like, and in the past, I've had a tendency to, like, the whole house stops and we just focus on like giving that child the support they need and, you know, just like pouring into that child and basically figuring out how to make it stop too, you know? And what I've realized, it's okay for them to be melting down. And as long as they're safe, as long as they're not hurting anybody, and like they just need some space to cool down possibly, or whatever it is they need at the time. So one person feeling off doesn't need to dictate the emotional landscape of the rest of the house, including the parents. You know, we're the thermostat of the house, especially the mothers, right? So if we start our day and we're grumpy or frustrated or sad, our kids are going to feel that for sure. Everybody's going to feel that, but especially our kids. They're energetic little beings and they know how mom's feeling. Even if I'm not saying, oh, I'm feeling really sad today, or I'm feeling really off today, you know, they feel what we feel, even if we don't say it. So, and then oftentimes we'll unconsciously, of course, expect them to kind of fall in line. And because mama's grumpy or feeling a little bit off, then I'm going to be a little snappy at breakfast. And then they're going to feel like, oh, mom's feeling snappy. And I really just wanted to tell her about this cool picture I made. And then everybody in the house feels a little grumpy, you know, because mom's grumpy or whatever it may be. So really taking a look at our emotional landscape and figuring out, like, we have five humans in this house. That means we have five different people feeling five different things at any given moment. And honoring and respecting that. We don't need to change the way someone's feeling. We don't need to change the way we're feeling. Maybe we are grumpy and frustrated and there's a very valid reason behind it. And also, we don't need to expect our kids or our partner or whatever to jump into that with us. You know, a lot of the times I will be the more type A worrier kind of a vibe. And my husband will just be super stoic. You know, if you listen to the episode with Nate and I about creating our family culture, you can tell he's like a stoic, super even keel kind of dude. That was episode number 4, by the way, if you want to go back and listen. But so he'll be super stoic and I'll be like, can't you just freak out with me? Like, I'll, you know, sometimes I'll even want him to freak out with me. And he's like, well, what good is that going to do? Like, no, and that's not going to do anybody any good. And I'm like, okay, that's right. You're right. So I think that's really important to keep in mind. And then one of the last things I want to touch on just for this conversation is practicing empathy. So another thing Jenny Luther talked about in her episode was mature empathy versus sympathy. So sympathy is like, oh, you stubbed your toe. Oh my God, you stubbed your like going into the person's story, kind of like my definition of codependency, jumping into that story with that person and or making it about something that happened to you. So, oh, you stubbed your toe last Tuesday when I stubbed my toe. It really hurt too. I know how you feel, right? And actually, my kids are kind of at the age where they are starting to do that. They're starting to go like, I remember that time when I fell off my bike and I got hurt too. And, you know, they're still practicing. They're still learning. I mean, we're all practicing and we're all learning. And practicing mature empathy is understanding how a person feels, perhaps just holding space for that person just by your calm, steady presence or taking a deep breath. A lot of the times when my kids get hurt or fall down or something, they'll cry and I will remain super calm. And if they want to hug, then I'll hug them and I'll just focus on really deeply breathing. And I can feel their bodies just kind of melt. We can practice empathy all day long. We have so many opportunities with our families to understand where somebody else might be coming from, to gain perspective that might not match our perspective, and to just try our best. So, you know, raising independent feelers, thinkers, learners, everything. Like, I think these are some really, really solid foundations and some really good starts on doing that. And I'd love to hear from you. Let me know if you have any ideas, because these are the big ones that we practice. There are also more, which, you know, possibly I'll share in future episodes. But these are the big ones that I wanted to talk about for today. I'll leave you with a question to ponder as we go into the upcoming week. And the question I'm going to be pondering is, am I promoting independence? Am I promoting emotional space? Am I promoting empathy? And how so? So, you know, again, it comes down to self-discovery and self-awareness. That's like the first step to everything, really, that we do. So yeah, just pay attention this week and see what comes up. And through the non-judgmental, loving lens, just take a look and shift what you need to shift, keep what you need to keep, and let go of what you need to let go of. Thanks for listening, loves. As always, if you're feeling inspired, it would be amazing if you could hop on and leave a quick review and some words that are inspiring or that inspired you. I super appreciate you. I will talk to you soon. Bye.